PR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. The Afghan government is officially in command of Afghanistan's security, taking over from NATO-led forces. Terry Schultz reports on the grand ceremony in Kabul that took place as more ominous events occurred, including a suicide bombing targeting a prominent Afghan politician. The attack missed its target, but three other people were killed and more than 20 hurt.
Afghans are now leading security operations all over the country as NATO-led forces gradually drop back into a supporting role in the remaining most difficult districts. In Kabul, NATO Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen congratulates Afghan President Hamid Karzai on reaching what's called Milestone 2013.
Your forces are showing great courage, great skill, and making great sacrifice.
Karzai says his citizens should be proud too.
The Afghan people will see their own children providing protection to their lives and to their country.
Though many Afghans do want foreign troops out as scheduled at the end of 2014, others fear their forces may be left without enough equipment and training to do the job alone. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz in Brussels.
President Obama wraps up a two-day summit with his fellow G8 leaders in Northern Ireland today. NPR's Scott Horsley reports Russia remains at odds with the group over the bloody civil war in Syria.
President Obama met privately with Russian President Vladimir Putin for 2 hours Monday, but they reached no accord on Syria. Russia continues to back its longtime ally, Bashar al-Assad, while the United States insists Assad must go. The U.S. and Russia made more progress on other issues, extending a program to secure and dismantle leftover Soviet-era weapons. They also agreed the elections in Iran provide a new opening to deal with that country's controversial nuclear program. Obama thanked Putin for Russia's help in the wake of the Boston Marathon bombing. The two leaders agreed to cooperate on counterterrorism measures in the run-up to Russia's hosting of the Winter Olympics next year. Scott Horsley, NPR News, traveling with the president.
At the G8, the president is also reiterating his support for a trade deal with Europe. With Europe and the U.S. looking for ways to improve their economies, the Federal Reserve meets today on monetary policy, and Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke should have some comments tomorrow. President Obama is hinting he may be looking for a new Fed chief, with Bernanke widely expected to step down when his second term as chairman ends at the end of January. Here's the president speaking with public TV host Charlie Rose.
I think Ben Bernanke's done an outstanding job. Ben Bernanke is a little bit like Bob Mueller, the head of the FBI,
yes,
where he's already stayed a lot longer than he wanted or he was supposed to.
In the interview, the president calls Bernanke an outstanding partner in nurturing economic recovery. This is NPR News. The government's key witness in the murder and extortion trial of alleged Boston mobster Whitey Bulger returns to the stand today. From member station WBUR in Boston, Asma Khalid reports on the former hitman's testimony so far implicating Bulger and expected attempts to cast doubt upon it.
John Matarano is a confessed murderer. He served 12 years in prison for killing 20 people. That short jail sentence was part of a plea deal Matarano cut with prosecutors in exchange for a promise to testify against Bulger. In court, Matarano referred to Bulger as my partner in crime, my best friend, my children's godfather. He said he was heartbroken when he discovered Bulger was an FBI informant. Matarano described murder after murder to the jury in a deep, monotone voice, often recounting how Whitey Bulger helped him. The defense is expected to raise questions about Matarano's testimony, given his history. For NPR News, I'm Asma Khalid.
Prosecutors in Hungary say they have indicted a 98-year-old former police officer for allegedly abusing Jews and helping deport them to Nazi death camps in World War II. Laszlo Satory denies the charges. The indictment says he ran an internment camp in 1944 where he allegedly beat detainees with his hands and a dog whip. At least 100,000 people have been in the streets in Brazilian cities. The protests started in response to a small hike in subway and train fares. Demonstrators complain about high taxes that they say produce little in value in education, public safety, transportation, and health care. I'm Paul Brown in Washington.